Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a risk-free $500 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And we're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one home of free sports betting picks. Visit PicksWise.com to make your next bet better. And next, we're also brought to you by OddsCrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the U.S.? OddsCrowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Over $30,000 are up for grabs over the course of this season. Go to OddsCrowd.com to sign up. And, of course, finally, do not forget to download the SGPN app. SGPN is giving you a chance to win $100,000 in their NFL Week 1 contest exclusively on the SGPN app. So make sure you download that app today in either the Google Play Store or the Apple Store.
Hi-de-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This would be monumental episode number 69. We made it to 69, and obviously I have to dedicate it to Billy Madison, of course.
We're reading his fun books to page 69.
69.
How was that? Pretty high tech of me holding my phone up to this to the mic. I hope that that sounds really amazing to all of you out there. Guess what? I'm back, suckers. Jeff Fox is back on the mic after, what, three episodes off there? I promise I'll never abandon you again and leave you with those pale imitations of myself that hosted the podcast while I was away. But in all seriousness, as a comedian, I do have to thank them for filling in and doing a wonderful job and only bearing me the first few minutes of every show, not the whole show, which is appreciated. If this is the first time you're listening, this is the MMA Gambling Podcast, and we talk about MMA and gambling, and usually we veer off into strange passageways, strange topics, because the host of the show is a weirdo, and the co-host is, I thought he's a normal guy, but it seems every episode a little bit more sneaks out from his past. And I think he's a weird dude too, in a good way. But who knows what we'll learn from him this week. We do talk about MMA though, so don't worry about that. Maybe I'll introduce my co-host, who hopefully he's not too upset about being demoted back down to associate host and not being able to do the cold open and run the show. He only has two other podcasts that he can do that on, so I'm sure he doesn't mind taking a backseat on this one. He actually gets to talk more, I think, this way anyhow, with me hosting it. What can I tell you about him? The past, 3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks, his picks have actually mimicked his appearance, which is blazing, blazing hot. That would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland that I would be speaking of. Hi, Dan, I'm back.
Man, you didn't – you spent all that time away. I assumed when you were going to come back it would be like a 20-minute intro with a bunch of, you know, tongue-in-cheek things about how I want to – how you think I want to fight. Who is it that you thought I wanted to fight?
You did want to fight. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, it was Bartosz Fabinski.
Yeah. You came right out and said that you could beat him. But anyhow, go ahead.
Yeah. So I expected a long intro with you – you know, sneaking a couple of those in there, and I just got that I'm attractive and good at picking MMA fights.
You are, see?
Guess I'll take it.
Well, that's my way of thanking you for you and KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, for filling in for me the past three shows and talk about how much vacation time I take. I had like 2 weeks this year, which is, when I actually worked and not my wife, I used to have 5 weeks of vacation every year. Can you believe that? At my job,
yeah,
5 weeks. Crazy.
I get more than that, but that's built in. It's 2.5 months.
There you go. But we're not going to see what Dan does, but you might be able to guess. He gets 2.5 months, and that's his work release when they let him out of jail. And the rest of the time, he's back in jail, but they let him record the podcast, which is good. So, yeah, you're picked up.
I make license plates.
He makes license plates for a living. He makes good picks, too. You are blazing hot. I don't mind saying that because I'm on a good streak myself. But yeah,
I picked Gerald Meerschaert. Did you know that?
You sure? Yeah, I heard about that. Heard about that in episode 68, I believe. I heard about that. But yeah, you're 16-8, 26-11 over the last 3 weeks. That's insane.
Not bad. And in addition to that, I will say I believe I opened up the money lead further over you.
Oh yeah,
$600.
It is, $600, because you've made about $1,000 the last 3 weeks, Dan. And you're still doing the show? Crazy.
I'm still doing the show.
You should retire. I'm, 16-8 over the last 2 weeks, 23-14 over 3 weeks. Notice I only go back 3 weeks, because if I go back 4 weeks, Jeff was 3-6. Dan was 2-7, so that's where I cut it off. This is a very this is what you do. You make the numbers work for yourself. So, and KCP did good with his picks too last week. So we all had a good week with picks for that card. So
he was 8-4 and 8-4 and up a couple hundred bucks. In his debut of making picks for SGPN, made us look good.
Exactly. So, I questioned coming back, but I thought there wasn't enough. You guys did go on a few tangents, which was nice to see. It wasn't just me that causes that, but I figured there needs to be more nonsense and more Billy Madison quotes on the show. Billy Madison, thumbs up for you?
Yeah, Billy Madison's thumbs up. Yeah. As long as it's early Chandler, I'm fine with early Chandler. You can go.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. Thoughts.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. I'm actually okay with the Waterboy. I know people aren't going to like that take, but it's all right. And then Big Daddy for me is an absolute home run. I think Big Daddy is the best
Big
thing he
good.
Ever did.
Yeah. Wedding Singer's all right.
Wedding Singer's okay. I'll grant Wedding Singer. But Little Nicky, get out of here with Little Nicky.
I don't even know if I saw that.
I definitely have seen it probably too much because when I didn't have a DVD player when I was a poor fresh out of college kid, I watched a lot of Spike TV, which is obviously why I'm qualified to run this podcast.
Run it now, do you?
I run the editing at least.
Listen to this guy. Go ahead.
But I ran it for 3 weeks or 3 episodes. Little Nicky is on Spike TV an exorbitant amount of times in the
it's true.
Early
I remember
2000s.
That now. Yes, I do remember that. I do remember that. So, other than that, I guess there's a few news items we can touch on before we kick off the serious part of the show. I'm going to see if I can get any oofs out of Dan or any no comments out of Dan. But I got New York Times sends me breaking news emails. So I got one in my inbox just shortly ago, and it said Joe Rogan got COVID. And my reaction to that was, what took COVID so long, Dan?
Yeah,
no oof.
And maybe this is a no comment one. It's probably not an oof one because, it would be oof if I was surprised or if this was a while ago when there weren't ways to at least limit your chances of getting COVID. But you know, if it was last March and he got it, I'd oof maybe and feel bad for him. But in this case, I just, man, I hope he takes as much horse to wormer as he possibly can.
Bro, he only got sick for you and he felt bad one day, bro. And now he's better. So bro science wins, I take it. So.
Or horse to wormer, I guess. This is not an advertisement for horse to wormer, but.
Yes. Whatever. I didn't pay attention to. I just know he said dumb things. I don't pay attention to actually what he said about it. So, because I don't take my medical advice from Joe Rogan. I suggest that maybe you should stop too, Dan, because I know usually you take all your medical advice from Joe Rogan and the bro science, but maybe it's time to stop. So. Anyway, I don't want anyone to be sick, so I'm not cheering that. But I just think if I was COVID, I would take a long, hard look in the mirror and ask myself, really, it took me a year and a half to get Joe Rogan? Like, what am I doing with my life? Maybe it's time to stop. So that's basically what I would say. What else did I see? I saw Sajera Eubanks started a nice Twitter war because she got mad that Amtrak was trying to make her wear a mask. Can you imagine that? And she said – this one's going to be a no comment and an oof. And she said it's reminiscent of segregation.
Yeah, that's an oof.
I'm Canadian, so this stuff. Even though I went grocery shopping the other day and the dude was walking around with no mask on, which is a very rare thing to see. But anyhow, I don't think there's any real important news stories other than those silly ones.
No. You got Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier.
Oh, yeah, right.
Those two officially signed on the line. That is
I'm glad good news. About that.
Yeah. I was a little worried. I'll be honest. I was a little bit worried that Dustin Poirier was going to go looking for another money fight. And not because I disrespect Dustin Poirier or I think the fact that he went after one with Conor McGregor was, like, indicative of his style of what he looks for in a fight. But, you know, like leaving that fight, he was – shit-talking Nate Diaz a little bit on social media. There was, like, some talk with Colby Covington, or at least Colby Covington was talking about it. I guess Poirier never was chasing that fight, just Covington was. There seemed to be some Jorge Masvidal pretend beef or something like it seemed like he was trying to line up something where he got paid a lot again, and eventually he just decided the title shot was what got him paid best. So I'm happy about that, because that's a fight I've really wanted to see.
Right. Plus, it's you want to see the best guys fight for the belt, not fight and throw off like carny circus type fights. You want the best guys fight for the belt, and Dustin Poirier arguably is the best lightweight in the world. So this kind of restores order, at least in that weight class, I would say.
Yeah, I think so too. And you're gonna get to see the two best guys in the division fight each other.
Yep.
And not much more to say other than that. And I'm glad it happened.
And a good style matchup too. Very interesting. Basically, anybody against Dobronx is an interesting style matchup, if you ask me.
Yeah,
especially
that's
now
true.
That
like,
he's starching people.
Yeah, there's really nobody who I can think of against Charles Oliveira where I'm like, okay, I 100% know that fight would play out this way, because I don't think Charles Oliveira knows how he even wants fights to play out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he just goes in. And he plays it by ear in, like, true mixed martial arts fashion, and it's fun as hell every single time he does.
No doubt. And then, what, Peter Yan, Aljamain Sterling, looks like that one's official, too, coming up in the fall. Or I'm not sure, actually, when that one is. It's coming up, though, in a few months, but before the end of the year, apparently. So
I believe it's on the Jan Blankovic versus Glover Teixeira card, which I think is on Fight Island.
Right. Okay. That
but
sounds right.
I will tell you, I'm not as jazzed about Sterling Yan 2 as I was Sterling Yan 1.
No, but it's another one of those things. It needs to happen for some order to be restored in the bantamweight division. So, well, regardless of who wins, like even if Sterling wins, that's fine. But I don't think he will. But even if he wins, but got to get this out of the way so there's not a logjam and nature can take its course and top prospects can go up and fight for the belt like Sean O'Malley. So anything else? Oh, and your favorite fighter, Macy Barber's got another fight booked against another young fighter, of course, because that's all the UFC does with women's flyweight is they book young fighters against each other. She's fighting Montana De La Rosa coming up. I forgot.
I did see that one. I do hate that matchmaking again. Like, just why not?
You keep doing it.
I get that neither of them have put together like a 3 or 4 fight winning streak, but there really is no reason that like Montana De La Rosa can't fight Jessica Eye, you know, like, or can't go up and fight somebody like that. You know, like, give her somebody in the middle there.
Yep. Yeah, but we've talked about that before. But they apparently know what they're doing, and we don't. So, you know who else knows what they're doing? Our friends at WynnBET. Are you ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. For boosted parlays to live in-game odds at every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today and to receive a special offer, risk-free, a $500 sports bet. Download, bet, and win. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. Do you miss doing the ad reads in the middle of the show, Dan?
No, you're better at those. I got them at the beginning anyway.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I got them at the beginning. I'll be fine.
It's true. All right, let's talk about the Contender Series, which is actually going to bail us out next week because there's no official UFC next week, but we do have the Contender Series, which I forgot how much I enjoy the Contender Series until I watched it last night. I think a lot of it has to do with it being like a tight 2 hours and, what, 4 or 5 fights. I don't need 6 hours of UFC to watch and to cover and report on, so it's kind of nice to have just a quick in-and-out in-and-out fight card. Plus, it's always fun fights because guys and gals that are scratching and clawing for their careers, basically. So, fun night last night, even though a close friend of mine got gypped by the one horrible decision that we had on the card. Other than that, pretty good fight night. You got takeaways from it?
Yeah, I was really interested to see that he passed out a contract to a losing fighter. I think we've been talking about that for seasons now. And I know the last time we were talking about it was with a flyweight fighter too. I can't quite remember who it was. But there was a flyweight fighter last year who was on the Contender Series that they were like, oh, they look really good in a loss. They might give him a shot. And then again, a flyweight this time in Carlos Candelario,
who won the fight.
Yeah. I think won the fight anyway. Yeah. But I'll say this, here's the really weird thing about, like, his story is so interesting, and it's even weirder when you take that story into consideration that, like, he got the contract, because he was on the Contender Series in 2017. Did you know that? He fought Ronaldo Candido.
Yep. Yes.
And he won a unanimous decision over him. Looked great doing it. They didn't offer him a contract. And after that, got hurt a couple of times, but didn't fight for 4 years.
Yep.
And then he fought like 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
And won. And was like, hey, this is not so bad. And then they invited him back on short notice to fight at the Contender Series. It's crazy. Like, it's like a very weird run for him. And, like, I'm glad it paid off. Because clearly, like, to take that time off, it seemed like he might be retired. It's just like a great story. He's also probably going to be one of the oldest flyweights in the UFC, too, because he's 30, but, like, that division is mostly young guns, right? Like, they're not a whole lot of old dudes in that division.
They got rid of most of them, basically, back when it looked like – back in the Great Purge of, what was that, 2018 or whatever?
Yeah, the Dustin Ortiz Purge.
Yeah, like, back when it looked like they were getting rid of the division. But yeah.
That's the guy who they got rid of. It was Dustin Ortiz and a whole bunch of guys who kind of felt like Dustin Ortiz.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, Candelario, like you said, I think he won the fight. I'm sure people who had money on him think he won the fight, right? Certain people who may have had money on him.
I think people might think that, although I will say it's certainly less painful when it's part of a parlay where you also lost the other half of it as well.
There you go.
Yeah.
not naming names. Yeah. But yeah, that was he clearly won the first two rounds, if you ask me. Clearly lost the last round, though. He really gassed out. So, and yeah, both those guys got contracts, Victor Altamirano and Carlos Candelario. Candelario got the O out of his record, though. He's 8-1 now after that loss. So they got a contract. Night started off with fireworks. AJ Fletcher won via flying knee and punches. Basically, if flying is in the description of your victory, you're pretty much guaranteed a contract, I say. Anything with flying in it, Dana White's going to sign you.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it was a good performance before that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he looked good. Granted, it was only 2.5 minutes, so who knows how good. But he was looking like he was well in control of the fight. Plus, he's a guy who trains out of Gladiators Academy, right, which is one of the gyms that Dustin Poirier trains out of, or used to train out of way back in the day when he was still training in New Orleans with crazy Tim Crater and all that kind of stuff. So that probably doesn't hurt his chances either.
No, and he's built, and he used to play a billion different sports. Yeah, he looked like the complete package in there. It was only a couple minutes, but striking wrestling, he basically had it all going on there. So he got a contract starting off, and then the two flyweights got their contracts, which I was hoping when I was watching the fight, I'm thinking, oh, maybe they'll give him a contract anyhow, but you never know with Uncle Dana. And then Joe Anderson, Brito cheated but won. Because that's basically this fight card had basically everything that you look for in MMA. You had a questionable judge's decision. You had a guy repeatedly poke a guy in the eye but still win. You basically had it all. You had flying knees. You had everything. But Brito was clearly the better fighter than Diego Lopez in that fight. And then he ended up winning a technical decision after poking him in the eye, and Lopez cannot continue. But Brito looked very good in that fight.
Yeah, I thought he looked good. And
somebody's salty. Listen to you.
Well, I actually do like Lopes too, because I watched a little bit of him back when he was on what was it, the Mexican promotion Lux Fight Series, LUX. And he was their hot prospect. So I had seen some of him. I had never seen Joe Anderson Brito, but I had read a little bit about him. Sean Bitters does a whole bunch of prospect pieces, and it covered him a couple of times. But that Diego Lopes had beaten a bunch of UFC vets, like three or four of them right in a row, in that Lux Fight Series. So I was high on him, so it was kind of a shame to see him look. I mean, he didn't look bad, but definitely not as good as I thought he could.
No. Then the main event, it was pretty clear heading in whoever won this fight was going to get a contract, because they're both massive light heavyweights. Azamat Mirzakhanov, who my son said, "Hey, that's you on TV." So I think because he has a bald spot, I think he was it was a dig at me for because I have a bald spot, I guess. But he looked very good. TKO and Matthias Scheffel blasted him with punches 3 minutes in. Like I said, both. I don't know how good Scheffel is. He looks like a fighter. I don't know. He's 14-7 now, so maybe he's not UFC caliber, but Mirzakhanov looks like he definitely is. He's 10-0 now at this point.
Yeah, and he won that one night tournament for Brave CF too, way back when, which I'm pretty sure was open weight, and had some goofy 100-pound gold belt that you won if you won that fight. So he fought some pretty good people in that, including, I believe, a UFC vet, but I'm blanking on which one. And he also has a quick KO over ranked middleweight Andre Muniz, I know, which is – so he's had some high-level competition in those 10 fights too.
Yeah, so anyhow, fun fight night. Good stuff, and they'll be running – how many weeks are they doing this?
Ten week run, which is and not all of them are filled out. I'm kind of hoping some of those guys from the Ultimate Fighter make their way onto there, but yeah, it's another full 10 weeks, which is always good.
So, which I figure going forward, since a lot of people in the SGPN Slack, if you aren't in that yet, make sure if you're listening, make sure you get into our Slack channel. It's lots of fun. And the actual fight board or channel or whatever it's called. I'm old. I don't know what it's called. But anyhow, the fight channel in there, lots of talk, lots of people talking last night and betting on the Contender Series fight. So I said in there, we better start covering it on the podcast thing, because obviously the degenerates out there are interested in it. So I'm thinking Sundays we can do a preview of the upcoming Tuesday night fights. You know, give it, Dan probably will know every single person fighting on the card. He's probably watched every one of their fights. Even though he just admitted to not watching someone's fights before, which is strange, but we'll have the intel, and hopefully we can get you some best bets, and then we can do recaps on our Wednesday show, which will it works out well. So thank you, UFC, for putting this on. It gives us the content we need. We crave.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch. I enjoy watching it. Maybe, like I said, because it's fast. I'm not into the 6-hour stuff with a whole bunch of fluff, but, you know, it's fun to watch. So, but we do have a fight card to break down, so we probably should be getting to that. I probably should tell you about another one of our sponsors first, if I can actually find my ad page. Here it is. Let me tell you about a sponsor, then we'll get into our Brunson versus Till. Let's tell you about, how about Prop Swap? We're brought to you by Prop Swap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Go check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available, browse the activity feed to stay in the know, and a loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash and much more. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. When making your bets, always make sure to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team or player so you can sell one for a profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. And thank you for being on our team here, PropSwap. Let's tell you about PicksWise, too, while we're at it. Why not? It's right in front of me. PicksWise is the number one home of free sports betting picks, props, and parlays, held by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction for every game, every day, and every sport, all for free. Visit PicksWise.com to make your next bet better. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. If you or someone you know wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, we got a fight card before the UFC takes another rare week off. I think maybe next week the last. There might be the last week they have off of the whole year, possibly. I think there's like 5 shows in October, which is like every week in October. I think they're really cramming them in now. So this may, next week may be the last week that we have an off week. But anyhow, this week we got UFC Fight Night Brunson versus Till, aka UFC Vegas 36, aka UFC Fight Night 191, aka UFC and ESPN Plus 49. What do you want to call it, Dan?
I always go with the Vegas 36.
Absolutely, that's what I do too. So we're going to go with that. Now, originally it was not. It was going to be what, UFC London 1 or whatever 2. It was supposed to be in London, which when we go through the fight card, it might make some sense to you why there's so many British fighters on the card and so many former Cage Warrior champions on the card. But the plan was to host it in London, but it fizzled out with COVID protocols and that type of thing. So they're going to stay in Las Vegas in the comfy confines of the UFC Apex. So that will be this Saturday, September 4th, UFC Apex. It is a rare afternoon card, I'm guessing, because they probably already had it scheduled in for London time. So I'm guessing that's probably why. But regardless, it is, what, 1:30, I believe? Is that right? Dan, do you know? Can you bail me out here? Is it 1:30 start time? I think it might be.
I don't know. That seems early, though.
All right. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to check MMA-Manifesto.com, which is an amazing website that you all should go to, and make sure at the very least you enter their free pick'em contest. But I believe the prelims are starting at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, and then the main card is 4 o'clock Eastern, and it's on ESPN Plus only, I believe. I don't think it's on any of the ESPNs. And I am correct, as per usual. So, and it is only 10 fights at this point. Some fights did fall off. Paul Craig was supposed to fight Alexander Gustafsson. Gustafsson was going to return to light heavyweight, but he's injured. So Paul Craig is without a fight there. You know anything? Wikipedia still has Mark Casey versus Rafael Olivez listed. I don't think that's going to happen, though. Do you know anything about that fight? Any info on that?
So they still have Mark Casey fighting... Who?
Rafael Olivez, they have listed as.
No, Olivez pulled out of that fight.
Okay, all right.
Pretty sure visa issues, Casey not fighting.
Right, okay, yes, that would make sense. Yeah, we'll go through it, but there's a lot of short notice people in here, mostly because of visa issues, because a lot of Europeans were planning on being able to stay home to fight in this card. And then they still... Wikipedia also still has this fight listed, but it's not happening as far as I know. Flyweights Alex Perez match now, which was supposed to happen, what, last week or a couple weeks ago? They have it listed as happening this week, but I don't see any other source saying it's happening, so I don't think that fight is happening either. Am I correct there?
So that fight will be happening on December 4th.
Wow.
It's been rebooked for December 4th. The precise reason, I'm not sure, but they moved it back.
Yeah, so there's quite a, like I said, quite a few changes. A lot of people, we'll go through the, we'll go, when we break down the fights, we can let you know who's short notice and whatnot, because as you know, with the stats I rely on, short notice fighters were at 40% success rate for short notice fighters. So I consider that any fighter who has less than a month to prepare for a fight, and they're the fighter filling in. So they've only won 40% of the time since start of 2020 when I started tracking it. So that is start. 10 fights, correct? That's what you got too, Dan? 10 fights in your slate?
I am looking at exactly 10 fights, yes.
Okay, let's do it. See, I like that. 10 fights. I'm sure they're going to drag it out and make it 6 hours still, but that's fine. 10 fights is good. 15 fights is kind of pushing it.
10 yeah, fights yeah. 15 fights is too many. I like to live right around 12 or 13. That's usually my sweet spot.
Yep, so 10 fights. I was thinking this is it's a chalky card for me, but then again, now that I'm thinking it's only 10 fights, really only 3 or 4 dogs statistically would come through anyhow, so I think I'm right around that range anyhow. So let us begin. Bantamweights, Jonathan Martinez, Marcelo Rojo. Do we have nicknames? We do. Jonathan the Dragon Martinez, Marcelo Pitbull Rojo. Pitbull is way overused, so the Dragon wins the nickname game, if you ask me.
Yeah, I'll allow that. Also, I'm pretty sure the Dragon is a new one for him. I don't recall ever having heard that, and I've seen a lot of Jonathan Martinez fights, too.
Of course you have. So maybe he's a Ricky Steamboat fan, perhaps, you think?
Maybe, although doesn't one of his teammates have a – isn't there an El Guapo on his team, too?
Yeah, there might be, right.
Fights with you, which is stealing Boss Rutten.
It's true. Bunch of thieves. Rojo, let's break him down first. He's 16-7, 8 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been subbed himself 4 times, but Martinez is not huge submission guy, so that probably won't matter here, but I'll throw it out there. He's 0-1 in the UFC. He got TKO'd. He is taking this fight on short notice, so he's one of our short notice guys. He's got an inch of reach. He's a more active striker, meaning he lands more strikes on average per minute than Martinez does. Grappling stats also in his favor. All the stats I refer to are from fightmetric.com or ufcstats.com is what it's called now. But these are very small sample size because we're talking one fight for Rojo in the UFC. But regardless, he does have active striking and grappling stats in favor. Plus 128 on the board. Martinez, 13-4, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions, 4-3 in the UFC. He's 2-1 over his last 3. He did get knocked out in his last fight, though. He's missed weight in the past because he used to fight at featherweight, and this is down at bantamweight, and he has had trouble in the past making the 135-pound weight limit. This is a middleweight, is it not? Yes, a bantamweight, I'm sorry. What else can I tell you? He's 6 years younger than Rojo. He's got the striking stats in his favor, minus 160. I will be backing the Dragon in the nickname game and in the cage.
Yeah, I'm going to be taking Jonathan Martinez in this one, too. While I think Rojo is an interesting dog here, because if you did watch that first fight of his, he moves forward sort of recklessly in a way that I think is going to give people a lot of trouble in the long run. It didn't give Charles Jourdain trouble, but that's mostly because Charles Jourdain can somehow just fight himself into a little bit more of a technical version of the fight. And then when he did engage in the firefight, Jourdain was the one landing. But I think him getting in people's face can tire some people out. I just don't think Jonathan Martinez is that type of person. He fights with a very smart game plan. He sticks and moves. He gets out of there. He doesn't stay in extended exchanges if he's not winning them. I think Jonathan Martinez is probably just going to pick away at him from the outside and kind of circle away from that pressure, which sometimes is a little bit more chasing than it is cutting off the cage for Rojo. So, yeah, I think Rojo is kind of a fun one to watch, but I don't like the way that they matched him up with somebody who seems to have the right kind of style to beat him here.
Martinez is the pick. We both agree, and we are both on heaters, so you got to take Martinez here. Move to middleweights. Dolce Lugamiambala. Lugamiambala. Lugiambula. Lugiambula. There we go.
Dolce Lugamiambula.
Lugiambula versus Marc-André Barriot. I can say the Canadian guy's name, of course. Now, this is a Canadian. Canadians do screw us over on this podcast. I got to throw that out there. Dolce is champion and Burrow is power bar. I don't know. Power bar is kind of goofy, so I'm going to go with power bar.
I love power bar because I have no idea. Is it because his last name is Barrio?
I don't know. Have you interviewed him before, Dan?
I've never interviewed him before. I have interviewed Jonathan Martinez, though, and we just both picked him. Yeah, that's a thing.
Have you interviewed Dolce, though?
I have not interviewed Dolce.
Okay.
I do like Power Bar better. Dolce champion is fun because he used to be a champion, but he's not really anymore.
He's definitely not anymore. Not at this point. He is 11-2 as a pro, though, which is nothing to sneeze at. 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He has swapped wins and losses back and forth. Won his debut, lost his next fight, won his most recent fight. He is a former heavyweight. This one is down at light heavyweight. He's got 2 inches of reach. Grappling stats in his favor, +125. Barrio, who I just read an amazing article on MMA-manifesto.com, expertly edited. The writer's kind of but it was edited really good. 12-4, 1 no contest. You're not going to laugh at that at all?
I gave it a little chuckle. It just might not have been detectable.
Sorry. 12-4 with 1 no contest, 9 knockouts. He's never been finished in a fight himself. He's 1-3, has 1 no contest in the UFC. He got a TKO win his last fight. He technically won the fight before that too, but he failed a drug test. It wasn't for marijuana either. It was for like actual performance enhancing things. So he's really on a 2-fight TKO streak. But us Canadians are cheaters, so he got caught cheating. He's 5 inches taller, 3 years younger. He lands 3 times more strikes than Lugambala. So that, and he's got better cardio, I read too. So, be more active striker and better cardio may add up to win. He's at -155. After I read that article, I'm like, I gotta take the Canadian here, even if he's gonna screw me over. I gotta take him.
Yeah, and the thing is here is Dolce Lugambula had trouble at 205 with his cardio and then forced himself to cut down to 185. I have no idea how this dude made weight the first time.
Well, that's right. This is middleweight. I'm thinking this is light. Yeah, this is middleweight. He used to fight at heavyweight. Yeah.
Which is crazy that this dude makes it down that far. But I'll say this too. In his fight, his last fight, the cardio didn't look as bad as I thought it was going to down a division. But he's very clearly a guy who's very good in the first round and then starts to wane. And if you look at Barrio's last 2 fights, he survives early onslaughts from both of those guys he fights. He winds up finishing both, but he winds up immediately looking better at the beginning of the second round because he is really durable and he's got a great gas tank. So, I mean, like, the thing about this fight is it seems like they were like, oh, Dolce Lugambula gets real tired real fast. Let's stick him with the most fucking durable guy we can find and force him to gas himself out again. So, yeah, I think it's unfortunately really, really, really rough matchmaking for Dolce. But again, if you're going to stick around in the UFC, you have to prove that you're getting better at the things you are. I don't think he got enough better with his cardio here, and I think he probably gets stopped late by Barrio.
Yeah, this is a bad matchup. Bad matchup for him. And just so you know, so Jared Eubanks is not letting it go. Another tweet just came out about Anna Tech. So.
thank God.
Yep, it's good. MMA is good at MMA, no matter what. All right, before we move on, let me tell you about Prize Picks, a new sponsor. I haven't got to do one of these yet. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, my favorite daily fantasy app. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. The more players you pick, the more money you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the only way I play. So let me give you a breakdown here. For baseball, we'll pick 3 batters because if we do that, bet $20, we can win $100 if the batters come through. They're all set at 1.5, meaning they're going to get more than 1 hit plus walk. And I'm going to pick guys on my fantasy team. Even though Dan says guys on my fantasy team, I should not pick, right? I should pick under for all the guys on my fantasy team.
Yeah, you should pick them. You should just pick the unders. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right. So, yeah, that's harsh. But Dan's ahead of me. So, but yeah, I was going to pick They're off the screen now, so fine. The game's already started. All right, I'm going to take Chris Bryant because I think Chris Bryant looks like Dan. Do you know that? You think you look like Chris Bryant a little bit?
I've never gotten Chris Bryant, but I'll take it. That's all right. Yeah,
he's a handsome guy, and you hit like him, right?
No.
So I'm taking Chris Bryant. I'm taking Justin Turner. I'm taking Trey Turner. All over 1.5 hits and walks. If that happens in their game tonight, I win $100. Simple as that. So, and make sure you use promo code SGP to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So that's Prize Picks promo code SGP. It's better to look like him than what whoever my son said it looked like, that Eastern European balding man.
Berzaganov.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Moving on. Featherweights. The man who stole my nickname, Julian Juicy J. Arosa. I am the Juicy J. Or maybe I stole it from him. I can't really remember now, Dan. I think it was mine originally, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, it had to have been.
It had to have been. I wouldn't have stolen it from him a few episodes back. No. He's fighting, he's fighting Ludwig. I want to say Shaolin, but he's not.
Nope,
I don't think he's Wu-Tang fan.
That's the wrong matchup. Jack
I jumped ahead of myself. Julian Arosa versus Charles Jourdain. Air Jourdain. I skipped a Canadian. Can you believe that? No, this is tough. Another Canadian. Can I really pick two Canadians in a row? Let's see, Dan. So we got Air Jourdain, which is kind of funny, versus Juicy J Arosa. I can't take Juicy J. That's my name.
When that Juicy, as we pointed out when we originally gave you the Juicy J Jeff nickname, the nickname just makes you so uncomfortable.
Yes, it does.
It sounds just like it shouldn't be anybody's nickname.
Where does it come from? Did we discuss that already?
I interviewed him before, right?
I've
interviewed him before, but I don't know where it came from.
Well, next time, Dan.
I'm on it.
Have you interviewed Jourdain?
I have not.
All right, so there's our pick then. Jourdain's the pick, but we'll break it down anyhow. Arosa, 25-9, 11 knockouts, 11 submissions, which is pretty crazy. He's got that many finishes of both kinds. He's been knocked out himself 5 times. He's 3-5 in the UFC over 3 stints, which is pretty crazy too. You don't see guys get 3 kicks of the can. He's making the most of this most recent one. He is 2-1. He did get TKO'd in his last fight, though. He also was in the Ultimate Fighter at one point where he's 3-1. He's taking this fight on short notice. This is what, at featherweight. He used to fight at lightweight in the past. He's got 4 inches of height, 5 inches of reach on Air Jourdain. He's the more active striker. Better grappling stats, plus 155. Jourdain, I have listed that he's Canadian, which is, I think, a bad thing probably. Because Canadians always screw us over. But anyhow, he'll wear a mask though if you tell him. That's for sure. He's 11-3-1 with 8 knockouts, 3 submissions. So all of his fights have ended in a finish. So if you want to pick him, I suggest taking him via finish. And Arosa has been knocked out a bunch of times. So he's 2-2-1 in the UFC. He got a TKO win his last fight. He also was a former 155-pounder. He's 6 years younger, minus 195. What do you think of this one, Dan?
I'm actually going to go with the dog on this one. This is going to be my first dog pick. I'm going to take Juicy J on this one, and here's why. I think one of the things that Julian Arosa does really well is he pulls people into his kind of brawling, messy fights. Whether that person is a brawler or not, he brings you into that. Take Sean Woodson, for example. So he fought Sean Woodson. Sean Woodson's nickname is literally the sniper. He likes to stay away from you and snipe you until he can finish you. And he wound up brawling a little bit too much with Arosa. And the thing about Arosa, great gas tank, quite durable, despite the fact that he did get knocked out pretty damn hard by Sungwoo Choi last time out. But he is pretty durable. So he took some of Sean Woodson's best punches and then was able to tag Sean Woodson late because his cardio is great. He gets in your face. He brawls, and he keeps brawling with you. Could Charles Jourdain stay away from that the whole time and fight a smart fight? He could try, but I'm not sure that it would necessarily go all that well. And also, you know, just as kind of like a little extra piece here, I think Julian Arosa's grappling is kind of underrated. He did get that Darius Joke finish on Sean Woodson. If you go back to his time on the Contender Series, he did head kick knockout Jamal Emmers, so he's got power as well. I just think Julian Arosa, with sort of his pace, is going to be too much here for Charles Jourdain.
Okay, you saw me. I was up in the air on this one, but yeah, his grappling, especially considering he is so active a striker and he's got almost a half a foot of reach on Jourdain, that's something to think of too. So yeah, Let's do it then. It's good number two, plus 155. So Juicy J, make me proud. Make your nickname proud. Win us some money. Now we'll move on to bantamweights. Jack Shore versus Ludwig Shaolinian. I guess it's not that hard. Did I hit it?
I think it's Shaolinian, but yeah, you're close.
Shaolinian, okay. His nickname is Palmieros, I believe. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means something in Ukrainian. He's Ukrainian, is he not?
I believe he is Ukrainian, yeah. But I think he trains somewhere else. But I guess that's sort of irrelevant.
I guess it's irrelevant. But anyhow, I don't know what it means, but it's the game, and Jack Shore's tank, so I don't know. I'll go with tank, I guess, because I know what a tank is.
Yeah, and he got that nickname. That's Justin Tank Scoggins. There's two small tanks.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And they're both small guys. It's true.
Let's talk about the newcomer, Shaolinian. He's 9-1-1 with one knockout, three submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. This is his UFC debut on short notice. However, he was just in the most recent season of The Ultimate Fighter, where he went 1-1. He's won his last four pro fights, but his last official fight was September of 2019, excluding his time in the Tough House. He also was in Bellator in the past, where he was 0-1. He's 2 inches taller than Shore. I don't know his reach. Could not find that anywhere, so I can't give you a breakdown of that. He's at plus 350. Jack Tank Shore is 14-0 with four knockouts, eight submissions, 3-0 in the UFC with two submission wins there. He's a former Cage Warrior champion, which you can hear me say a lot on this card. He also used to fight at featherweight, but this one is up at – is this one up at – this one – I'm getting all confused about bantamweight. I'm sorry, down at bantamweight. So he used to fight at a higher weight class. He is 5 years younger, minus 500. He's a uber prospect, so I gotta back the uber prospect here in Jack Shore.
Yeah, I think this one's a real easy one, and I can sum it up pretty quickly. Shaolinian in his loss on the Ultimate Fighter was to the eventual winner, Ricky Tercios. Tercios kind of like out-scrambled him anytime Shaolinian used his wrestling, which is actually pretty good. He just kind of got either swept or countered, or somehow he'd wind up in a worse grappling position. And he's just going to be fighting maybe the best grappling prospect that 135 pounds has. So it's a nightmare matchup for him. I expect him to get subbed too.
Yep. And what are your thoughts with Shore? He's the real deal, right?
He's definitely the real deal. Yeah. I'm pretty pumped on Jack Shore. I think, you know, like there are times where he's looked like there might be a little bit of holes in his game, but for his age and what he's doing, like he's the real deal. And I think we're going to see it increasingly. So it's too bad we didn't get to see him against Sadner Magomedov, who was his original opponent for this fight.
Right.
Because that would have been like a really good test to see just how far along he is. But I think he's going to cruise here, and then hopefully we get to see him again soon.
Yep. And let's move on to our main event, women's the prelims, that is. Women's flyweight Meatball Molly McCann versus Ji-Yun Kim, who is Fire Fist. Both those nicknames are awesome, but Meatball is the classic. I got to call it Meatball Molly because
Meatball might be one of the best nicknames in all of MMA. It's one of my favorites.
And it's from her time working at Subway. Didn't people say she used to smell like meatballs when she went to practice or something, right?
She said when she went to practice one time, her coach said, Molly, you smell like fucking meatballs.
Amazing. She's a fun one, Molly McCann. She's been on your podcast, right?
Yeah, a bunch of times.
A bunch of times too.
I'm a big Molly McCann fan. I won't even hide my fandom. I am a big Molly McCann. Also, I've had Jack Shore on my show, too.
Right. And he's survived so far. But
yeah.
Molly McCann has lost two straight, though. So, because she's been on Molly. She tempted fate and went on more than once on the Top Turtle podcast. Anyhow, let's break it down. This is pretty much a pick'em on the board as we speak. Meatball Molly is 10-4 with four knockouts, 3-3 in the UFC. Like I said, she did lose her last two fights. She also has had trouble making weight in the past. She missed weight at least once, I think just once. She is a former Cage Warriors champion. Striking and active striking stats in her favor, grappling stats in her favor, minus 110. Fire Fist is 9-3 with 9-3-2, so she has two draws on her record. Two knockouts, three submissions, never been finished in a fight. 3-3 in the UFC as well. She's not 3-3 in the UFC. Is she really 3-3 in the UFC? She's been around that long?
I think that sounds right. Yeah, she's been around for a while.
Anyhow, some of these people sneak up on me like, wow, that guy's been around that long. Like another one coming up, Alex Morano, has been around forever, and it kind of creeped up on me. she has swapped wins and losses over her last three fights. Loss, win, loss. So her last fight was a loss. She's missed weight twice for flyweight. She used to be a 135-pounder. Last fight, August 2020. Get this, 3 inches taller, which isn't huge. 10 inches of reach, though. -115. What are you thinking of this one? That reach is I want to pick Molly, but 10 inches reach is kind of scary.
Well, it is kind of scary, but except for when you factor in what Yi Jian Kim's worst attribute is, and that's her takedown defense. It's actually pretty terrible. In addition to like the stats being really terrible, if you compare who she's giving up those takedowns to, that's also terrible. There's no doubt that Alexa Grasso's best attribute is her boxing. Yet, but even she was like, "Hey, I can take Yi Jian Kim down just for funsies." Kim's wrestling is not bad when she's on the offensive side of things, but it's really bad when it's on the defensive side of things. And low-key, like, Molly McCann is actually a pretty good wrestler. People know her as a boxer, but, like, she does wrestle really well. I don't think she's going to have any trouble getting in on the inside. Like, it's not like Yi Jian Kim has, like, got incredible footwork or does a really good job of working distance. She doesn't even really throw all that many kicks to try to keep distance that way. I kind of think she's just going to get inside and finish a couple of takedowns and win rounds there. I'm going with Molly McCann here, and I'm actually pretty pumped that these odds are close to even.
Good. I feel a lot better with my pick then. Yeah, so she's technically a dog here, but barely. -110 versus -115. So with me telling you on a couple picks, we went identical on the prelims. Do you have any surprises coming up for the main card that we may not drive on? What do you think?
I think there's probably one or two that we might not agree on.
All right, we'll see. Can we agree that Paramount Plus is amazing, though, Dan? Can we agree on
that? It is, because it's the summer of soccer.
It is. The summer soccer continues at Paramount Plus. Stream over 2,000 soccer matches a year from around the world. That's all the heart-pounding drama from CBS Sports, including UEFA Champions League, Europa League, Italy's Serie A, Argentina's Primera Division, the Brasileiro, NWSL, the Asian Football Confederation, the CONCACAF. There's a CONCACAF too, is there not?
I think you're thinking of CONQUESO, which is a dip.
Dude, I know what that is. We have Mexican food in Canada. I know what that is. Anyhow, they have all that. I think you have to supply your own CONQUESO. It features the stars from the U.S. and Mexican men's national team. It would be CONCACAF. CONCACAF. Qualifier. Say it again, Dan.
CONCACAF.
Yeah. Plus, they have much more. No queso. It's the best of the beautiful game with all the beautiful names like Messi, Mbappe, which I love saying, Ronaldo, Rapinoe, and Pulisic. I don't like saying that for some reason. His name doesn't come off my tongue properly. Be part of the excitement as champions are crowned and history is made. The world's game lives here on Paramount Plus. Visit ParamountPlus.com to start your free trial and stream every match live. All right, main card. We're not going ad-free, people. We got too many amazing sponsors this week, and this is too small of a fight card. So let's do it. Now, this may be one of the most highly anticipated debuts we've had in a while. Is it? You think it's still highly anticipated, this person I'm speaking of?
I think so, yeah. Like,
it would have been more a few years ago.
I don't know that it would have been more a few years ago, but I do know, like, I think regardless, the way he promotes himself. I don't even mean just like talk shit to other people. I just mean like he does a good job of getting his own name out there all the time. And I think doing that enough would have made his debut successful at any time. I will also say you don't have to worry about the top turtle curse here because both Luigi Vendramini and Patty the Batty Pimblett have both been guests on the Top Turtle podcast at one time or another.
And of course, we're talking about Vendramini's debut, right? That's what we're talking about here?
Yeah, of course.
No, actually, he's already been in the UFC. We're talking about Patty the Batty Pimblett, who hardcores have heard of him for years and years and years. Big shot over in Europe. So we got Patty the Batty Pimblett versus Luigi the Italian Stallion Vendramini. I also think Pimblett's nickname could be Owen Hart clone.
He does have the Owen Hart bowl cut too.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously the baddie's going to win the nickname game here because it's iconic already, and he's just a young man.
Yeah, and you also can't steal Sylvester Stallone's nickname like that.
The Italian Stallion. It's true. All right, let's go with the Italian Stallion first. He's 9-2 with 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. So all of his finishes, all of his fights, excuse me, have come via finish. He's only won one of his last, or actually he's only won one of his 3 UFC fights. He's 1-2. He swapped wins and losses again. Loss, win, loss. We seem to come across that very, very often with fighters that we're breaking down. A lot of people swap wins and losses back and forth. Don't know what's behind that, but hey, I'm just putting it out there. He used to be a welterweight. This fight's down at lightweight. He's a year younger than Paddy the Babbly, which Paddy the Baddy, which you would think Pimblett's younger, but Venture Media is a young guy himself. He's at +112. Paddy Pimblett, the pride of Liverpool, along with Molly McCann, the king and queen of Liverpool. 16-3. 5 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's won 2 straight fights, 3 of his last 4. He used to be a double champ in Cage Wars, correct? 145, 155? He had both, I believe?
Or
just one?
I think he just had one. I believe so. Because he did lose the lightweight. Actually, he tried for the 45.
Right, that's what it was, yes.
And he lost to Nadner Amani.
Right,
who eventually got signed by the UFC.
Yeah, so he was a lightweight champion, and then he tried for featherweight. That's correct. Anyhow, this will be his debut, and it will be at lightweight, up at lightweight. Do you think that's the best weight class for him?
I think so.
Or does it matter? Or does it really matter?
I don't think I've seen enough of the different versions against like high quality opponents that would give me a real sense.
Okay. He's 2 inches taller than Venger Meany. I don't know the reach. For some reason, I can't find Pimblett's reach. He's at -140. All right, break it down, Dan.
So for those who have never seen Paddy Pimblett, his style is pretty straightforward. He does have pretty sufficient boxing, gets the job done, but really he does his best work on the ground. And he does really good work both if he is the aggressor on the ground or if he is on his back on the ground, because then he makes himself the aggressor from there anyway. Really good submission game no matter what. Venger Meany, I think, kind of low-key has a really good style matchup here for Pimblett because, and I mean that in a bad way for Paddy and a good way for Venger Meany, because while people aren't talking about Luigi Venger Meany a lot, the dude made his UFC debut at 170 pounds on short notice and fought Elizeu Zaleski dos Santos, who is a pretty tough dude, and by all accounts was beating him until he ate a flying knee. He not only was getting some better of the exchanges, but he also held Elizeu Zaleski dos Santos' back for like 2 or 3 minutes in the first round. His grappling is pretty good, and also he's pretty good at stuffing takedowns and stuff like that. He can keep it on the feet if he wants, and he throws pretty well. And I think that's part of why I'm actually going to pick the underdog here. I'm going to take Luigi Venger Meany. And the reason I'm going to pick him is because I think while I like Pimblett's grappling, I think Venger Meany has the choice if it goes there. And if he says, no, I want to keep this fight standing, I think the benefit's his. And even if he does take it to the mat, I mean, like, if Elizeu Zaleski dos Santos, like, you worked your way to his back and you're only 155-pounder, like, and now you're up against 145-pounder, I think he can hold his own on the mat with Pimblett even if it does go there. So, you know, I'm going to take Venger Meany here.
You're only doing this because you want Molly McCann to be the ruler of Liverpool and not Paddy Pimblett, correct?
They're best friends. I think they can probably rule together.
I'm going with Pimblett. I'm buying the hype. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm doing whatever else there is to say. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I would have liked Pimblett to come over a few years earlier before he caught those L's that he caught, because I'm wondering if it's past his prime already, even though he's a young guy, he's still be his 20th fight already. So not sure about that, but I'm going to pick him regardless. So take that. We finally differed on a fight, so which means I can be at least one fight ahead of Dan when we do our recap show on the weekend. So let's move on. Light heavyweight, shall we? Modestus Bukauskas versus Khalil Roundtree Jr. Jr. was added just a few years ago, I believe. He wasn't always Jr., was he? Professionally.
I don't know that. Yeah, perhaps.
God, Dan, I'm stumping you this week. A couple of questions.
Yeah, that's one I don't know, yeah.
Wow, this is not like you. This is what happens when I take some time off. Dan gets lazy. All right, either of these guys been on your show? Roundtree, maybe?
No, but this week, you can hear me.
Here we go.
this week you can hear Modestus Bukauskas
on the Top Turtle MMA podcast.
Yeah. So and I've had him on before too. He's a super fun guy to listen to talk to.
Yeah, that's why he's lost his last two fights also, I should mention. He's the Baltic Gladiator, and Roundtree's the Warhorse. I like Baltic Gladiator better, I believe.
He once told me that his nickname originally, when he was test running nicknames, was supposed to be the Russian James Bond, or like the Eastern Bloc James Bond or something terrible like that. And he was like, I don't think it flowed well enough. I was like, yeah, no. You're right about that, dude.
Yeah, I would not have picked that as the winner. I would have picked Warhorse over that one. So let me tell you about Warhorse first. He's 8-5 with 1 no contest, 5 knockouts. He's 4-5 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's lost his last two. He's won one of his last four. He was on the Ultimate Fighter where he's 2-1. He's at +128. The Baltic Gladiator, 11-4 with 8 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 3 times, so 3 out of his 4 losses have come via knockout. He's only won one of his 3 UFC fights. He won his debut and then lost his last 2. He is a former Cage Warriors champion. You might have heard that before. 2 inches taller, 2 inches reach, 4 years younger, the more active striker, -160. I will take him. If Roundtree looks like he looked when he fought Eric Anders, then it's a different story, but he's fallen off a cliff again since that fight. So we'll be going with the younger, bigger Bukauskas, the James Bond of this matchup.
Yeah, and I'll say this too, is like he went out there and got real beat up by Ian Kutalaba right after that Eric Anders fight. And right. So part of that win against Anders was like, Anders isn't much of a wrestler and he could just keep it standing. Kutalaba like beat the hell out of him after, you know, getting a really nice takedown. And I think now he's a little bit more tentative worrying about those takedowns, and it's made him a little gun shy on the feet. And that's, I mean, he lost to Marcin Procneo, who, you know, I was not high on Marcin Procneo. I still continue to not be high on Marcin Procneo. If I'm not mistaken, he's Sam Alvey's last win. So it's been a long time coming.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, like I think Bukauskas is good enough to take advantage of that tentativeness if it's still there for Roundtree. I also think, you know, he's got the takedowns if he needs to go to it. He does strike fairly well. He's had a couple of tough luck losses. I actually thought he won that last fight, but yeah, I'm going to take Bukauskas here as well.
Yes, we're back on the same page again with that. Let's tell you about our last couple sponsors, and then we'll take this baby home. Let's tell you about Odds Crowd. If you haven't downloaded the Odds Crowd app yet, you're missing out. The free roll football contest is taking place on Odds Crowd this year. $10,000 for the best NFL bettor. Sides are included as well this year. Also, weekly $100 SGPN exclusive contest just for people who have the app downloaded. There's over 30,000 in cash prizes up for grabs across both season-long and weekly contests on NFL and college football. The boys here at SGPN are all taking part, so you can try to claim bragging rights over us as well. Good luck, though. Here's how it works. Once you enter a contest, you track your bets against real odds and lines, much like you would with any pick tracking app. The most profitable players rise up the leaderboard. If you have the highest profit at the end of the contest, you win. And Odds Crowd isn't just a fantasy betting contest. It's a social app for sports bettors. Free to download. You can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private fantasy contests with your buddies, and much more. So download the app for free or go to oddscrowd.com today. And while you're downloading apps, download our app if you haven't already, SGPN app. Download and enter for your chance to win your week one NFL pick contest, and you can win $100,000. I butchered that whole sentence because I don't think it's typed here properly. But anyhow, week one NFL picks, if you win, you win $100,000 from us. How's that? Sound good? Good. And that's coming out of Dan's pay, too. So the SGPN app is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. Don't worry, it's only like, what, 2 episodes of pay, and then Dan will be back up, so no problem. So download our app, App Store, Google Play Store. It gives you easy access to all our picks, podcasts. You can listen to our podcast right on there. If you haven't already subscribed to our MMA Gambling Podcast feed, which you should, and when you do download the app, make sure you throw a review up there. Sorry, I doxed how much you make per episode, $50,000. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sad that the world now knows, but had to happen at some time.
People are going to be hitting you up. All right, let's go with welterweights. Alex Morono, who has been around, like I said, a lot longer than I remember, versus David Zawada. We got Alex the Great White Morono versus David Sagat Zawada. what name you like better here, Dan?
Zagat is a Street Fighter Zagat, one,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not.
It's not Bob Saget.
No, I don't think so. I'm not a Street Fighter guy. I was a Mortal Kombat guy, so I'm gonna pass on that one and go with the Great White, especially because I think it's a shark reference, but I think it's also he's so freaking pale reference.
Yeah, it's a racist nickname, is what you're saying, Dan. Yeah. Dan's back in the racist nickname, of course.
I enjoy it on Murano. So
there you go. And also shots fired on Street Fighter. Not a Street Fighter fan, eh?
I was never a Street Fighter guy. A lot of Mortal Kombat, Super Smash Brothers, a little bit of Tekken, and that was
Babality.
It.
Did you like to do Babalities on people?
I didn't
in
like
Mortal
to
Kombat?
Do the Babality. It was all about the fatality, and it was mostly just about Jax hitting a whole bunch of uppercuts. That's the guy.
Yeah, ripping the heart out. We used to play Street Fighter 2 a lot also, I believe. I think I remember having tournaments with my friends, all-night tournaments in Street Fighter 2, but we played both. All right, so we decided we're going to go with, you're going with Great White because for all the wrong reasons, but let's break it down, shall we? Zawada, 1-3 in the UFC. He lost his last fight. He's got 1 inch of height, 3 inches of reach. Grappling stats in his favor, +125. Morono, 19-7 with one no contest. 6 knockouts, 6 submissions. 8-4 in the UFC with 1 no contest. He has gone loss, win, loss, win. Another one of those guys that flips him back and forth. He got a TKO win his last fight. He's taking this on short notice. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, -155. I'm going to go against his loss-win record. I'm going to go against the short notice, and I'm going to take him in this fight. I think he's a better fighter here.
Yeah, I think he's a way better fighter here. And if you look at Zawada's record, he was very close to being 0-4, despite the fact that he got a fairly early win on Abubakar and Nurmagomedov. I think Nurmagomedov probably wins that fight 10 times out of 11. He gets a good takedown in the beginning and then just gets real sloppy for like half a second and gets triangle choked. But like that's his only win so far, and he's been beat up pretty much by everybody else. You know, and I think in a similar way that Murano can, you know, there's some takedowns in there. There's kind of getting pushed up against the cage a lot. And Murano's good at all those things. So, yeah, I like Murano in this one quite a bit.
All right. Moving to heavyweights, I don't think either of these guys are – I did the research. I don't think either of them could be qualified as hashtag chunky guys. Do you disagree
Sergey
with that?
Sergey Spivak might be loose chunky.
Loose chunky. That's a callback.
Yeah, I think that one came from Chris Daukaus. He's kind of got a Chris Daukaus body.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And he is the polar bear. So with the great white, the polar bear, we're getting a lot of northern type references here. And Aspinall's got no nickname, so obviously Polar Bear's going to win. All right, we'll go with Spivak first. He's stepping in here on short notice on this fight. Who was supposed to fight? Was it Abdurakhimov who was supposed to fight?
No, he was supposed. Nope. He was Aspinall was supposed to fight Sergey Pavlovich.
Right. Okay, this is a step down in competition. If you ask me, Sergey Spivak, short notice, 13-2. Which is a good record, actually. 5 knockouts, 6 submissions, 4-2 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight. Maybe it's not a huge step down in competition. He's 2 years younger, +205. Aspinall, who needs a nickname, he's 10-2 with 8 knockouts, 2 submissions, 3-0 in the UFC, all of them via finish. He also was a professional boxer for 1 fight, which he won. He's 2 inches taller. He's got striking stats. He's twice more active on the feet, striking also. He's got the grappling stats. He's at -270. You going with Aspinall like I am in this one?
Yeah, I think this one's pretty easy. Also, Aspinall and Alex Morano, both Top Turtle alumni.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I like Tom Aspinall in this one mostly because of the way that Spivak usually wins fights, is that he likes to kind of play the bully. He likes to look for takedowns, but even if he doesn't get him, he gets you up against the cage, he holds you there, he wears you out, he gets you real tired, and then starts to take advantage of it. I just don't see that as being a viable option against Tom Aspinall, right? Like, he's not going to hold Tom Aspinall down in any position. Tom Aspinall is a freaking beast, and he's just going to power out of those situations, and he's technically proficient as well. I also think Aspinall just has the knockout power at heavyweight to just put just about anybody away, and I kind of think that's exactly what's going to happen to Spivak here.
Oh, so are we hinting at a prop here, Dan? A KO prop?
I don't have the KO prop open right now, but I'll put the intern on it and tell you whether or not I like the number.
Oh, that's true. It does depend on numbers. Aspinall, like I mentioned, he's finished all of his fights. So 8 knockouts, 2 submissions. So if you do like him, as Dan and I do, you may want to take him via finish. What are your thoughts on him as a prospect in the UFC?
I'm pretty high on him. Believe it or not, him beating my beloved Andre Arlovsky is sort of one of the things that gave me a lot of extra stock in him. And it's not because he beat Arlovsky, but it's also just how he beat Arlovsky. I know he's a power puncher. He hits really freaking hard, and that's worth something. But worth more to me is when you go in there with somebody who is going to try to, like, pitter-patter fight you from the outside to just bull rush a freaking huge takedown and then rear naked choke that guy. That's incredible. And Arlovsky's got good jiu-jitsu, too, and decent wrestling defense. So it was a little bit of maybe the element of surprise, but the fact that he's got that in him, too, gives me a well-roundedness that I think is really impressive and probably will carry him quite far.
There you go. You heard it from Dan. All right. Main event time. 8. Derek Brunson versus Darren Till. Derek Brunson does not have a nickname. I'm going to call him the Natural because he's got the Natural Butch Reed hairstyle. I think Butch Reed was a bit before your time, correct, Dan?
It was, yep.
All right. Versus Darren the Gorilla Till. So I guess the Gorilla's got a win because no one else has a nickname. Brunson doesn't have an official nickname, I mean. All right. We'll go with Brunson first. 22-7, 12 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 5 times. He's 13-5 in the UFC. He's won 4 straight and 6 of 8. So he is on a tear at the Red Bull at the age of 37. And of his 5 UFC, his 5 UFC losses, listen to the murderers row he has lost to. These are the only people he's lost to in the UFC. The champion is the Adesanya, Jacare Souza, Anderson Silva, Robert Whittaker, Yoel Romero. They're the only people who have beaten him in the UFC. Before all this, he was 3-1 in Strikeforce. He's an inch taller on tail, 3 inches of reach. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, grappling in his favor, plus 145. Darren the Gorilla Till, 18-3-1, 10 knockouts, 2 submissions, 6-3-1 in the UFC. He's only won 1 of his last 4 fights, and he did lose his last fight, which was way back in July of 2020. He also, of his 3 career losses, he has lost to Robert Whittaker, Jorge Masvidal, Tyrone Woodley. So a murderer's role for him also. He used to fight at welterweight, but he could not make weight there consistently. So he's up at middleweight now. He's 8 years younger than Brunson, minus 185. I'm going to take an underdog in the main event. I like Derek Brunson. I think he's a better striker. I mean, maybe not better power, but better striker. Definitely the better grappler. He's on a tear, and you never really know what you're going to get with Darren Till, even though he's only lost, like I said, to really good people, he seems to be inconsistent. Hasn't been in the cage for a while. And I like that plus 145 number. So I'm taking Derek Brunson.
And I'm going with you on this one.
Really?
I thought we were going to differ on this one for sure. But yeah, no, I've been all over Derek Brunson on this fight because for a couple of reasons. Like you said, he does have the wrestling advantage, but more so than just having the wrestling advantage, I think mixing it up is going to open up his striking. Whether or not he scores a lot of takedowns or whether or not he spends a lot of time in top control, the fear of that is going to make Darren Till a hesitant Darren Till. And Derek Brunson doesn't usually fall into that hesitant type of fight. I expect him to still move forward and still be landing his offense and kind of trying to push Darren Till a little bit. And over a 5-round fight, I really like Derek Brunson. I think Derek Brunson has got a far better chance of going 5 rounds and looking like him, his old self at the end of the 5th than Darren Till does. I like him a lot. Also, you know, it's worth noting Darren Till has kind of gotten a lot of credit for having decent takedown defense. Jorge Masvidal took him down. Not the other way around. Not like Jorge Masvidal stuffed his take. So Jorge Masvidal was like, hey, I've got a good enough takedown here to take down this guy. And he took him down. So yeah, like I don't really trust Till's takedown defense, and especially when you move him up a weight class against, and I'm going to say this, it might sound controversial at the time, but maybe the best wrestler at 185 pounds in the UFC right now, it might be Derek Brunson.
Yeah, yeah, the way he controls people too on the ground, not just the takedowns, the way he controls people on the ground, like I said. Till's takedown defense, his numbers look really good, but then you see a lot of guys just spam takedowns on him. Like they're throwing up. They may take him down four times, but they attempt like 12 takedowns. So it helps the numbers that way. But the only thing I worry about here is Brunson's age. He is 37. Younger fighters tend to beat the older fighters, and somehow Till is still young, but he's not even in his 30s yet. So I worry about that. And there's something else I was worried about. I can't remember. It's just the age, and I think there's something else. Maybe there wasn't anything else. Maybe I'm not worried about anything with Brunson here. I think he can, and he probably will grind out like a five round decision. I don't see Till knocking him out. I guess Brunson has been knocked out quite a bit, but I think he can be safe enough here, and he can grind his way to a decision. I'm picking a decision victory for him here.
I think I probably like a decision victory too.
Yeah, there you go. We are on the same page there. Pimblett, Vendramini. That's, everything is riding on that fight, Dan, for us. All right, props. Did you see the Aspinall prop or not?
I did get on the Aspinall prop, plus 120 for him to win by KO. I like that. I'll probably stick. Yeah, I think if it comes out to a plus number, I think that that's usually a pretty good play. And I'm going to say this, too. I think Marc-Andre Barrio winning by KO as well is a juicy one at plus 220, especially if Dolce gets really tired. And we've seen Barrio pick up two knockout wins in a row, although one got turned into a no contest. He has knocked two people out in a row, so I think that's worth noting, and especially with a guy who gets tired. Yeah, I'll take all of that plus 220.
Yeah, because it could always be a TKO. That still wins you the money. So,
yep.
Even if he doesn't spark him out. So, yeah, good pick. And now the degenerates, hashtag degens, always want like crazy parlays to make them some money. Do you have a decent parlay that you can throw into your machine and give us a decent number for?
Sure. I'm going to take a couple of ones that I like the best to start. So I really do like Modestus Pukauskas. I think he's a good play. I think Tom Aspinall is probably one of the safest plays out there. And as I said, I actually think Derek Brunson is a pretty safe play. So we'll start with those three. And then I'll say let's add, because they like him big and juicy, let's add Molly McCann.
Big and juicy, Jay.
So that one's going to give you 10-1 odds right there. Pukauskas, Tom Aspinall, Derek Brunson, Molly McCann.
Beautiful. They like them big and juicy. There we go. We finally got a title for the podcast. Big and juicy. All right. Let's do some locks. Is it my turn or your turn to go first? Do you remember?
I think you've been away. You can lock this one
first.
Oh, that's
so sweet. Thank you. Pukauskas, minus 160 versus Roundtree, is my lock of the week.
I like that. I'm going to go with Marc-Andre Barrio.
Canadian, ooh.
I don't have much faith in Dolce Lugiambula, and the more and more I've watched Marc-Andre Barrio, I feel pretty confident in him. I will say I debated Tom Aspinall, but those odds are a little bit high for what I like to do in the lock column. So let's go with Marc-Andre Barrio.
Beautiful. Pretty solid fight card on my MMA site. I run MMA-manifesto.com, where I rank fight cards based on the quality of the fighters on it. This one comes out pretty, it comes out well above average, and it's only got 10 fights on it. So it's definitely the best fight card we've seen in at least a little while, fight night at least.
Yeah, on paper, I would say that. I would say it definitely won't deliver like last week's did. Last week's delivered in a great way, dude.
It's true. It is true. All right. I think we put a bow on this. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you are subscribed to our feed, MMA Gambling Podcast feed. That's where the podcast comes out first. We go out on the SGPN feed a day or two later. So make sure you subscribe to our feed so you can get us when we're hot and fresh out of the oven. Make sure you download the app. Like we said, make sure you read all our stuff over at Sports Gambling Podcast. We're still doing our NFL previews, 32 teams, 32 days. Every day we have a new NFL team being previewed on there. Dan's got one coming up tomorrow. What is the Rams you're doing? Is that right?
I broke down the Rams, which is not terribly hard to do. They just they were a good team, and then they got to be a better team, and now they should be a really good team.
There you go. So Dan will tell you what are the best bets to make on the team and the best players to lock in on fantasy or players to avoid in fantasy. So make sure you check out that. Plus, I'll have my usual MMA columns later on in the week on Sports Gambling Podcast. And if you want our MMA-only content, the site I run and Dan writes for, MMA-Manifesto.com, get in on our Pick'em contest on there. SGPN, it actually is still sponsoring it, giving away a $50 gift card to anywhere you want in the whole wide world. So make sure you get on that. I think that's all I have to tell you. I haven't begged for Twitter followers for a while, but I'm creeping up to 1,000. It would really be a big deal to my ego if I can get 1,000 followers on Twitter. I just want my kids to be proud of me, and maybe that'll do it. Even though I don't know if Twitter's cool with kids. I don't think it is. Do you know, Dan? Is Twitter cool?
I have no idea. I have no idea what's cool.
Yeah, I'll do whatever. That's the truest statement he's ever said. He has no idea what's cool, everybody. I just, like I said, I just want my family to be proud of me. So if you can follow me at Twitter and boost my ego, Jeff Fox Writer would be my handle. If you want to cover, Gumby's got a healthy ego already, but he's Gumby Vreeland. He's got a lot of followers as it is, but you can follow him too if you like it. You can listen to his podcast too. He's got Prelim Primer, where he and a co-host break down all the prelim fights on the UFC card. And then he's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast where he and Shockwave make some picks, talk some news, and Dan interviews people and usually jinxes them. Who's getting jinxed this week? You said Bukowskis is on this week, and anybody else?
Yes. So first of all, I would like to rebuke the jinx, because this past week I had on Giga Chikadze, who
looked all right.
Wild performance. I got Brian Battle, who won the Ultimate Fighter, and then I got Andre Petrovsky, who picked up a third round TKO. So 3 for 3 this past week. So I'm not jinxing anybody, first and foremost.
That's true.
And second of all, Modestus Bukauskas is on talking about his fight with Khalil Roundtree. And then I have Dustin Jacoby recapping his action against Darren Stewart, who he knocked out last week.
Yeah, wow. That's right. You had him, and wow, that's crazy, Dan. Maybe the jinx is over. Maybe I made it all up.
I think it's over. I went 4 for 4 on that card.
That's true. And no one ran into trees with their cars, and no one had their insides explode and bleed all over the place. So yeah, maybe it is over finally, which is good. This podcast is over finally. Make sure you check back in on Sunday. We will have a recap of our picks and of the event, and we will make some picks for the Contender Series coming up next week. There's some names that even I recognize on the card coming up. So, should be a good one. I'll take you home. I'll take us home since this is my week back. I am Juicy Jeff. Am I Juicy J or Juicy Jeff? Did we decide on that?
I think you're Juicy Jeff.
I'm Juicy Jeff Fox. He is Daniel Gumby Vreeland. And we'll catch you on Sunday. Bye-bye.